Hello, and welcome to this latest edition of IC Questions, where we will be discussing the prospects for the high street, retailers, and their out-of-town shopping parks. I'm Megan Buxell, and today I'm joined by Callum Bruce, Director of Investment at Eddiston Real Estate, and Harriet Russell, the IC's retail expert. So, Harriet, there has been no hiding from the fact that it has been a tough few years for the retailers. Toys R Us and Maplin are just a couple of the high-profile names which have gone out of business recently. What's going on in retail which is making it so hard for these companies?
Well, I think fundamentally the entire sector is undergoing what we would refer to as a structural change. It's changing in a permanent sense, and there are several reasons why. And I sort of break them up into short-term challenges and then longer-term challenges. So I'm sure a lot of our readers will be more than familiar with some of the short-term challenges, things like inflation, the state of the pound against global currency, weather, national living wage, business rates. It's all had this knock-on effect into the cost base for retailers, which has been quite punishing. And then from a longer-term perspective, which is really the structural change that I just referenced, it's to do with the rise of online shopping, but then also having to really modernise and turn yourself from sort of quite an old-fashioned retailer, traditionally with a very extensive store estate and lots of long-term property leases, into something that's much more nimble and much more digitalised to serve the modern shopper.
Okay, so Callum, with your property head on, what sort of impact is that having on the commercial property market?
Yeah, I think the retail market has experienced a lot of headwinds. It has experienced some challenges. But when we're talking about the retail market, I think it's important to distinguish between the three main parts of that. So you've got the high street, which is your traditional shops. You've got your shopping centres, and you've also got your out-of-town retail warehousing. And you know, some of those sectors have got more challenges than others, and some are a better place to adopt their strategy and change their strategy to suit the modern needs of the shopper, but also what the online impact is having on retail. So in terms of what we are seeing, certainly recently, there's been a lot of reporting about the CVAs, companies struggling, certainly, and that will have a knock-on effect onto the retail space. But as I said, it will have a greater impact on some of the subsectors as opposed to the others.
Which are the areas of commercial property which are being hardest hit by the current challenges?
Within the retail space, it's certainly the high street and shopping centres which are being hardest hit. There's structural problems with the high street shops. A lot of the high streets in the UK are old. Their unit sizes can't be tailored, they can't be altered to suit the needs of the modern retailer. So what we are seeing is a shift towards the high street, towards out-of-town retail parks, which have got the bigger unit sizes, and space can be created to not only augment the online activities of the retailers, but get them into the right size of stores to allow them to trade their full range of goods.
Okay, and Harriet, have you seen any companies which are doing that particularly well?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, as Callum says, when you say which companies are doing it well, you have to sort of place each and every company into their own historical context. The idea that someone like Carpet Right's kind of rescue strategy with their company voluntary agreement, their CVA, is not the same as someone like Shoezone, who we went to see last week and is sort of really going down the retail park route. Similarly with people like Pets at Home, retail park is the thing that they have assessed as particularly beneficial to their customer, their business model, and it's better suited in their view. But someone like Debenhams, for example, is going to have a whole different host of challenges. Retail parks are going to be part of their strategy, maybe in a sort of US shopping mall sort of sense, but it's going to be less applicable to them than just simply trying to reduce what has become a very bloated property estate, and one which is located mainly on high streets and suffering at the hands of what continues to be absolutely dire footfall figures all round. But it is interesting. I mean, I totally agree with Callum that you've got these three sort of subsectors going on. But actually, the footfall vacancies monitor for March, which is sort of a set of data which really traffics the amount of people getting out and about to these various shopping sites. For March, it was obviously weather impacted, but similarly, there were declines across the board. So high street fell by 8.6%, retail parks by 1.8%, and shopping centres by 4.8%. So overall, it's not looking like a terribly good picture.
What does that then mean, Callum, for the retail property landlord and the person who is eventually hoping to make money from leases from these retailers?
from our perspective, we like the out-of-town shopping park. We like that sector, and we've got a lot of exposure to that with a number of our clients across the business. In the REIT, for example, we're 74% towards retail warehousing. That was a structural shift. That was a deliberate ploy to move into that space because we like that space and we understand what the tenants need and want. We've got a lot of experience of delivering retail parks from developing them right through to carving them up to give the retailers the units that they want. What we've seen is, despite some of the negative headlines that have been around over the past 4 or 5 months, there are tenants who are still there who want to take space. You mentioned Pets at Home. We've just done 2 lease regears with them. They've extended their stay on 2 of our parks. Iceland, for example, has signed a new store with us in a retail park in Rill. So for us, there is still a lot of good news. There are tenants who want to take space. We have been affected by CVAs, but not to the extent that a lot of other landlords have been. And in the majority of cases, we've been able to identify tenants who want to backfill that space. For example, we have a retail park in Hull where we had a Toys R Us. They vacated to their administration, and we've been able to relet that one to B&M. So there are tenants there who will backfill that space. But the key to that is having the right parks in the right locations. You've got to have the right assets. And if you do, tenants will certainly come towards them. We don't have any high street exposure, but I think you will see, it's a bigger challenge for high street landlords, certainly. We've talked about the physical restraints of their stores. They just can't be modified to suit what the modern retailers want. You've got parking restrictions. You've got the difficulty of getting the consumer into your store in the first place. And if you're selling bulky items, do they really want to carry them across town into the car park to put them in the boot of their car? So again, that's where High Street has a little bit of a disadvantage compared to out of town. So I think you will see more closures on the High Street when you're looking at the CVAs, and I think you will see retailers looking to consolidate the number of stores they have. So they might have fewer stores, but they'll have more floor space, and they might have one dominant in-town store with 1 or 2 out-of-town stores, which can help with the online strategies that we touched on earlier.
Okay, so when you say you don't have any high street exposure now, is that a decision that you have made since the retail market started to shift?
It's not. It's always been part of our strategy to not invest in the high street. What we find is when you're buying a unit shop, you tend to buy one store on a street or in a parade of units, and it's very difficult to influence the performance of that store. The activities of adjoining landlords can affect the amount of rent that you can get at Rent Review, for example. So no fault of your own, you could end up losing any rental growth that you thought you were going to capture. So for that reason, we've tended to avoid the high street and focus on the out-of-town parks.
Okay, and then Harriet, back to sort of the retail angle of that, why the leases and the location of these stores such an important consideration for these companies?
Well, from a lease perspective, it really becomes a financial one. If you look at someone like Debenhams, who performed very badly in our feature when we ran the data, it was because they came out as the company with sort of the most exposure to long-term leases. And when I say long-term leases, I'm talking about 20, 25 years or plus. And the reason that that is troubling is that it sort of touches on a point which Callum just made, which is that you're not very flexible then on your cost base effectively with those leases. So the landlord has potentially locked you in under a certain amount of terms. And although you might have reviews and sort of intermittent chances to sort of tweak that contract, the ability to just get out of it is extremely hard. And actually, the penalties to sometimes exit these leases make it more cost effective to just stay in them. That ties into the location of them. If you're in a location where the shape of the high street is completely changed, and we've seen that particularly across more rural areas of the country where these high streets have become quite desolate, it just becomes a loss-making store, which you can't get out of, which is exactly what's happened with people like Carpet Right. And the reason they're entering those CVAs is because it gives them the ability via that, if their creditors approve it, to be able to go to those landlords and just be able to get out of the lease pretty much by saying we're on our way to bankruptcy. So it's an interesting strategy, but it's quite a desperate one, and it'll be interesting to see if Carpet Right can pull it off. But Callum's right, the ability to survive on the high street becomes very dependent not only on the other shops sitting and restaurants sitting around you, but also the individual landlords backing those sites around you, whereas the retail parks are arguably a more cohesive existence. And although there are still sort of important decisions to be made about who you're sitting next to in those retail parks. For example, direct competitors, you don't want to be right next to them. There is more flexible spacing. The idea that you're going to drive destination shoppers, you know, that's not a thing on the high street. So a lot of retailers are seeing that as a potential way to combat what is becoming an increasingly online sector.
With all the challenges, what is the future of the high street? What are the stores that are going to be on the roads that we're walking through on a day-to-day basis?
It's a really interesting question. It's probably not one I can do massive justice to in, you know, a couple of minutes. But I think what I wrote about sort of at the beginning of the year about this sort of phygital opportunity, this hybrid model between online and physical, I don't think that I agree with people who say that online is the future and we're not going to have high streets anymore. I think that's far too drastic. I also think that pure plays are going to come into their own set of challenges. You know, they can't build scale. If you look at someone like DFS, the idea that people would just buy furniture on spec online and, you know, then try and return it is just, it's just not as convenient as being able to go into a showroom. But a lot of people have to try and harness both things in order to be a success, I think. I think the department store model is really going to struggle this year. That's something else I've really written about, not just because they tend to have these legacy leases, but just because it's not the sort of shopping that people want to do anymore. That is what the internet is for. That is what Amazon is for. It's an online department store. So I think that'll be one big casualty this year. We've already seen House of Fraser running into trouble in the last couple of weeks, and I think Debenhams won't be far behind. But it's not all doom and gloom. I don't think we're going to just have empty high streets full of, you know, charity shops and hairdressers. There is an opportunity there, particularly for people like B&M who are doing really well, and Shoe Zone, to sort of mop up those properties that are going to come out of these CVAs, potentially for cheaper rates, because the high street landlords are going to be sort of a bit on their knees with it. So those companies have a real opportunity if they play the cards right.
Okay, so Cam, do you agree? It's not the end of the high street yet?
It's not. The high street does have a future and it does have a big part to play in the retail space. I think when you look at the penetration of online, it is certainly it is slowing. If you look at the UK, we do buy more online than I think most of the other countries in Europe. And I think that trend will slow down and internet penetration will eventually plateau. I do believe that a high number of online purchases will still touch a physical store. Online is not going to replace the act of going shopping, and I think you will see a number of pure play retailers perhaps taking a bit of exposure on the high street into retail parks as well, just to help their online offer. But you've also got the traditional retailers, if you like, who are really embracing their online strategy. And you can look at the demise of Toys R Us as a retailer who could have really dominated that space had they got their online offer right. They had the network of stores. They just didn't do anything to make sure that the two were working together to give the consumer what they wanted. So, yes, the high street will still be there. I think you will see the similar sort of names as we've got at the moment. I think their store sizes might be different. In some instances, it will be smaller. I think the department store certainly will be smaller. You have to remember as well, though, that the tenants themselves signed up to these long leases. Nobody forced them to take a 20, 25-year lease, and in some instances longer. They agreed to sign up to the rents, and the CVA is a convenient way for them to reduce their liability and get rid of the stores that they don't want to have. So the sector, particularly the out-of-town sector, we're fortunate the vacancy rate is low. It's under 6%. And if you compare that to offices, for example, the office vacancy rate is probably near 13%. So there is still a lack of stock available for retailers. And I can see a lot of the stores which are coming back to the market being taken up by the retailers who are on an expansion drive.
You then think that commercial property is a good place to be invested, but we also, in comparison to other parts of the property market, you can see the student letting market. The demand there is so high. Why do you think commercial property is a good place to be at the moment?
We've touched on a lot of the points already. You do get good long leases in some instances. Well, it's unusual now for retailers to sign up to 15, 20-year leases, but there are some who will still do that. But generally, you are getting leases of 10 years. And despite some of the press stories, there are good covenants there. There are retailers who are making money, who are posting good results. And if you can get that good quality tenant onto your park on a 10-year lease, it's a robust income stream. You do have to be careful what assets you're buying. 70% of the retail warehouse market is over-rented. That means that 70% of the market, the rents that tenants are paying, are higher than you would get if you had that unit vacant and to let at the moment. So you have to pick the right parks in the right locations with all the attributes that we've touched on today, and if you get those ingredients, the tenants will come and you will get good leases, good covenants and a robust income stream.
Okay, so geographically you're looking out of town, out of the centre of cities, and all across the UK?
We look across the UK, yes, and generally the retail parks are on edge of the town centre. You do sometimes get, I suppose, sites which are more city centre focused, but in the main they are on out of town, they're next to good communication links, good road network, and it's easy for the consumer to get there. You want it to be an easy trip for them, and once they're there you have to create the right mix of product, the right mix of tenants, and provided you've got the units with the right planning consents, you'll be able to create that. And what you're seeing now is more coffee operators, food and beverage operators moving on to these parks, so it does give a reason for consumers to stay there for longer.
So you think commercial property all okay at the moment? Harriet, well, how do you feel about the retail market from an investor's point of view?
It's extremely dicey. Yeah, it's a stock picker's market, though. I mean, that's always the upside of a sector being in flux or even in disarray, is that there are always gems. As Callum says, you want to sort of ignore those doom and gloom headlines that you're reading in the broadsheet saying that, you know, retail is over or the high street's over, because it's not. It's just changing and it's just modernising. And inevitably, there will be casualties from that. And it's just knowing which ones to avoid. But we've done a fairly good job this year, I think, of trying to identify which retailers to buy into and for what reason. You know, is this a retailer that's in recovery and completely trying to change its ways, someone like M&S, for example? Or is it a retailer that is a good income stock, like we've discussed with Shoe Zone? Investment decisions shouldn't always be, well, this is just a fantastically well-run company and that should just be the end of it, because unfortunately those tend to be quite few and far between. There are hundreds of investment decisions, but as a sector as a whole, I try and be more upbeat and look at it as a sector in a state of flux rather than one that's just going downhill and it is going to sort of implode. So it's just knowing where to put that sort of hope and that sort of future strategy and where it all lies, really.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to leave it. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of IC Questions. We'll be back with more soon. In the meantime, for more IC podcasts, head to our website or subscribe on Acast or iTunes.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.